Welcome to Indo-Pacific Affairs, your gateway to understanding the strategic, political, and economic currents shaping the Indo-Pacific region. Join us as we navigate through in-depth analyses, insightful commentary, and comprehensive coverage of the critical issues at hand. Brought to you by Air University's Journal of Indo-Pacific Affairs.
Disclaimer: the views and opinions expressed or implied in this podcast are those of the participants and should not be construed as carrying the official sanction of the Department of Defense, Department of the Air Force, Air Education and Training Command, Air University, or other agencies or departments of the U.S. government or their international equivalents.
Dear listeners, it is both a privilege and an intellectual delight to reflect with you today upon a matter of profound importance to our shared future, the trajectory of the Quadrilateral Security Dialogue and its implications for maritime security in the Indo-Pacific. Permit me to suggest, without hyperbole, that we are at a juncture of historic consequence, a moment where foresight, resolve, and an unwavering commitment to principles must anchor our strategies. As we consider this topic, it is fitting to invoke a principle central to statecraft: strength invites partnership, while weakness invites provocation. This axiom will guide our exploration of the Quad's potential as the fulcrum of a rules-based order in a region marked by turbulence and ambition. President Trump's re-election in November 2024 and his forthcoming inauguration in January 2025 herald a new phase for U.S. policy in the Indo-Pacific. His administration has already demonstrated an unflinching commitment to recalibrating priorities to safeguard American interests and those of its allies. This era, far from being merely a continuation of past policy, promises an intensification of resolve and a rejuvenation of strategy, a recognition that America's leadership in the Indo-Pacific is not a luxury, but an imperative. First, in the domain of military engagement, the Trump administration's approach will be nothing short of audacious. The expansion of the Malabar exercises, already a symbol of Quad cooperation, will serve as both a practical enhancement of joint military capabilities and an unequivocal statement to adversaries. These exercises, integrating cutting-edge technologies and scenarios designed for high-stakes contingencies, will ensure that Quad forces can operate seamlessly in even the most challenging environments. The fortification of the U.S. Indo-Pacific Command, through increased basing rights, advanced weapon systems, and enhanced logistical support, will leave no doubt that America's strategic presence is enduring, robust, and unassailable. This military amplification is not merely performative, but foundational. It communicates to revisionist powers that the Quad is prepared to defend the freedom of navigation, the sanctity of sovereign borders, and the integrity of international law. It reminds potential aggressors that their ambitions will meet a coalition united by resolve, capability, and an unshakable belief in the principles of a free and open Indo-Pacific. Second, economic statecraft under the Trump administration will acquire a sharper edge, wielded with the precision of a scalpel, but the impact of a broadsword. The Blue Dot Network, a potent counterbalance to Beijing's Belt and Road Initiative, will be invigorated as a beacon of transparency and sustainability. Infrastructure investments under this framework will not merely compete with, but outclass China's offerings, providing nations with alternatives that strengthen their sovereignty rather than subvert it. Tariffs, those much maligned yet demonstrably effective tools of Trumpian strategy, will reemerge, recalibrated to address both economic imbalances and strategic dependencies. By incentivizing Quad members to deepen economic integration and reduce reliance on adversarial supply chains, these measures will transform economic policy into a linchpin of strategic cohesion. The message to Beijing will be unmistakable. Economic coercion will not divide this coalition, but rather galvanize it. Lastly, the realm of technological cooperation demands particular attention in this new phase. The Trump administration will prioritize safeguarding the digital and technological frontiers that underpin both economic prosperity and national security. The Quad's collaboration in 5G development, artificial intelligence, and quantum computing will transcend mere innovation to become a bulwark against adversarial exploitation. Imagine, if you will, a maritime infrastructure shielded by AI-driven threat detection systems, quantum encrypted communications, and resilient networks impervious to cyber attacks. Such advancements will not only fortify the digital ramparts of the Indo-Pacific, but also position the Quad as the vanguard of technological leadership. Adversaries contemplating cyber or hybrid aggression will find themselves confronting an alliance that is technologically superior, strategically aligned, and unyielding in its resolve. The Indo-Pacific, a vast theater of commerce and competition, faces a daunting array of threats. From gray zone tactics to hybrid warfare, adversaries have embraced strategies that exploit ambiguity, challenging traditional notions of deterrence and response. These are strategies born not of desperation, but of a calculated intent to blur the line between conflict and peace. They seek to sow discord where clarity once reigned, and exploit indecision where resolve is required. Consider, for instance, the proliferation of unmanned systems and advanced missile capabilities. These technologies have profoundly altered the calculus of maritime security. A single drone, operating under the guise of civilian activity, might disable a vessel or disrupt shipping lanes with plausible deniability. Similarly, hypersonic missiles, capable of evading traditional defenses, underscore the urgency of adapting to an evolving threatscape. This is not a hypothetical challenge, but a stark reality that demands vigilance. The Quad must rise to this occasion with equal measures of innovation and resolve. Enhancing maritime domain awareness through cutting-edge surveillance technologies, such as satellites and UAVs, is no longer optional. It is imperative. These systems must form a digital perimeter capable of detecting, analyzing, and neutralizing threats before they materialize. Anti-access area denial capabilities must likewise be developed to ensure that vital maritime routes remain secure, even in the face of concerted attempts to destabilize them. Robust joint exercises designed to simulate complex, multi-domain conflicts will further cement the Quad's operational unity and preparedness. But let us be clear, security is not merely a matter of military strength. It is also a question of strategic messaging. Here, the Quad's narrative must be clear, compelling, and unassailable. This is not a coalition forged to isolate or encircle any single nation. It is instead a partnership committed to the preservation of a free, open, and rules-based order, a vision of stability that benefits all who value peace and prosperity. To achieve this, the Quad must deepen its engagement with regional organizations like ASEAN, cultivating goodwill and fostering dialogues that build trust, even as they deter aggression. Extending olive branches need not come at the expense of building shields. The preservation of international norms and laws, particularly the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea, UNCLOS, is paramount. These laws form the bedrock of a rules-based maritime order, offering a framework that safeguards not merely the interests of powerful states, but the aspirations of smaller, vulnerable nations. Freedom of navigation operations, though derided by some as provocative, are nothing less than a steadfast affirmation of these principles. They assert, in word and deed, that the high seas are not the private domain of any single nation, but a shared resource for all of humanity. Illegal fishing and marine pollution, seemingly peripheral issues, must be addressed with vigor and decisiveness. These challenges, often exploited by malign actors to erode regional stability, represent not merely environmental or economic threats, but strategic vulnerabilities. A Quad-led initiative to monitor and mitigate these activities would underscore its moral authority, demonstrating that the coalition's vision extends beyond security to stewardship. Diplomacy, too, must play a central role. The Quad must not content itself with reactive measures, but instead seize the initiative through confidence-building measures and sustained, high-level dialogue. This entails engaging regional institutions and multilateral forums with a spirit of respect and partnership. ASEAN, for instance, must be courted as an essential collaborator, ensuring that its members see the Quad as a partner in prosperity rather than a provocateur. Strategic communication, the art of narrative, is indispensable in this endeavor. Public diplomacy, if wielded with the finesse it demands, can illuminate the Quad's objectives while exposing and discrediting adversarial propaganda. This is not merely a battle of words, but of credibility, and the Quad must emerge as the more compelling advocate for a vision of the Indo-Pacific that is free, open, and aligned with international norms. The appointments announced for President Trump's second term represent a coalition of minds uniquely positioned to shape the Quad's trajectory. Marco Rubio, as Secretary of State, will champion an assertive stance, advocating for a robust Quad partnership aimed at countering China's influence. His efforts will center on bolstering military alliances and economic sanctions, embodying the America First policy with a global strategic edge. Pete Hegseth, as Secretary of Defense, will emphasize military readiness and traditional defense strategies. With a focus on increased defense spending and an aggressive posture in the Indo-Pacific, Hegseth will prioritize enhanced joint exercises and seamless military cooperation within the Quad framework. His leadership will ensure the United States' strategic superiority remains unchallenged. Mike Waltz, as National Security Advisor, will complement this strategy by reinforcing the U.S. military's presence in the region. Waltz will particularly focus on strengthening alliances, with India playing a pivotal role, while advancing military preparedness to address emerging threats. Tulsi Gabbard, as Director of National Intelligence, brings a nuanced perspective. While balancing assertiveness with strategic restraint, she will emphasize cooperation with Quad partners and counterterrorism initiatives, avoiding unnecessary military entanglements, but remaining vigilant against evolving threats. Elise Stefanik, as United Nations Ambassador, will serve as the Quad's diplomatic envoy, advocating for multilateral cooperation to counteract Chinese aggression. Stefanik's focus on a free and open Indo-Pacific will be instrumental in rallying international support for the coalition's principles. Howard Lutnick, as Secretary of Commerce, and Peter Navarro, as Trade Advisor, will form the economic spearhead of this administration. Lutnick will advance the administration's tariff strategy, protecting American industries while reducing reliance on Chinese imports. Navarro, an advocate of economic decoupling, will push for stringent trade policies and strategic measures to curtail China's economic sway in the region. Jameson Greer, as trade representative, will complete this cadre with his expertise in trade negotiations, ensuring that U.S. industries are protected while fostering equitable trade practices across the Indo-Pacific. Together, these figures embody a philosophy of strength, adaptability, and an unyielding commitment to securing America's interests while safeguarding the values underpinning the Quad. Their combined efforts will ensure that the Quad not only survives, but thrives as the bedrock of Indo-Pacific stability. In summation, the future of the Quad and the Indo-Pacific's maritime security hinges not on the vagaries of circumstance, but on the deliberate and strategic choices we make today. The Quad, born of necessity and nurtured by shared principles, is poised to become the linchpin of regional stability. Yet this will require not only vision, but also vigilance, not only strength, but also subtlety. The stakes are immense, but so too is the promise of what can be achieved. The Indo-Pacific, a region that hosts the arteries of global commerce and a crucible of cultures, demands our unwavering attention and our most enlightened efforts. If the Quad stands resolute, fortified by enduring alliances and an unshakable commitment to the rule of law, it can shepherd the Indo-Pacific toward a future defined not by discord, but by cooperation, not by domination, but by freedom. Let us then proceed with eyes wide open and minds sharpened, prepared to navigate the complexities of an era where vigilance is not an option, but an obligation. The stakes are high, but the opportunity to preserve and promote a free and prosperous Indo-Pacific is one we cannot afford to squander. Let us seize this moment with the fortitude it demands, ensuring that the principles we uphold today endure as the legacy of tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us on Indo-Pacific Affairs. Stay connected with us for more in-depth analyses and thought-provoking discussions on the ever-evolving dynamics of the Indo-Pacific region. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep engaging with the issues that shape our world. This has been a production of Air University's Journal of Indo-Pacific Affairs.